This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. We're going to read John chapter 20, verse 1. The Bible says the first day of the week, by the way, today, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early on this Easter morning when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Somebody said, Pastor, the stone was taken away so Jesus could get out. No, no, no. Jesus walked through the stone. Rocks and stones can't keep him in. Walls can't keep him out. He walked through the stone. The stone was rolled away, ladies and gentlemen, not so he could get out. The stone was rolled away so they could see in. So they could see all that remains is grave clothes. All that remains is grave clothes and bloodstains. That old tomb is empty now. And that's why we celebrate today. Let us pray. Jesus, I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Today, would you speak to us and through us? And God, for all you do in this service, we're going to bow our unworthy heads. We're going to praise you. For we pray this prayer in the name above every name. That's the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, the Lamb of glory. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the greatest odds ever defied. The greatest odds ever defied. Thomas Jefferson was our third president. He was instrumental in the writing of the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson read the Bible and decided he would do something. He had a problem with the miracles in the Bible. So Thomas Jefferson literally took a pair of scissors and he cut the miracles all out of his Bible. He cut 83 miracles out of the Old Testament. He cut 81 miracles out of the New Testament. But what Thomas Jefferson didn't realize, after he removed the miracles, he no longer had a Bible. Because I want to report to you, the Bible is a miracle book. The Bible is a miracle book. It's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. See, the Bible begins, by the way, folks, with a miracle. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, where did God come from? Well, you didn't read the verse. In the beginning, God. God didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. He didn't start with start. He started start. See, before there was a was, he was. Amen? In the beginning, God. God created the world. The rocks, the reels, the hoes, the hills, the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees. God created it all. God created everything. Now, Genesis 2 and 7 tells us about another miracle. Genesis 2 and 7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What's that say, Pastor Benny? God took dirt and he created man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A miracle. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife, Sarah, was 90. And God said, I'm going to have a race, the Jewish race. And it's going to begin with Abraham and Sarah. The only problem, he was 100 and she was 90. And medicine said, you can't have a baby. And science said, you can't have a baby. And the ACLU probably said, you can't have a baby. But I want you to know something. God said, you're going to have a baby. Pastor, what happened? Here's what happened. Abraham and Sarah were on the front porch rocking in Cracker Barrel rocking chairs, and diapers were hanging on the clothesline. Amen? The first family ever to pay their pediatrician bill out of their Social Security check. God said it was going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is a miracle book. Moses gets to the Red Sea, this massive body of water. The Bible tells us he lays out a rod and the Red Sea parts. Liberal theologians say, but you don't understand, the place where Moses and the people crossed, the wind was heavy and the water was probably only about 10 inches deep. Only about 10 inches deep. So it really wasn't much of a miracle. I said, that doesn't lessen the miracle. It just shows me that God drowned an Egyptian army in 10 inches of water. It's a miracle book. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get thrown into a fiery furnace. But they're like that bush in the Bible. They won't burn. They won't burn. They're in the fiery furnace that's 7 times hotter than it's ever been before, but yet they won't burn. And ladies and gentlemen, they come out and their clothes don't even smell like smoke. Well, you can't even go in the Waffle House and that happen, amen? Don't even smell like smoke. And then we've got Jonah. Jonah, the man who lived 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly. A man got on an airplane and he sat down by a young lady. And the young lady was reading her Bible. And he said, "What are you reading?" She said, "I'm reading the Bible." He said, "I don't believe a word of it." She said, "Well, sir, with all due respect, I do." He said, "Well, I want you to answer something for me. How did Jonah live 3 days and 3 nights medically? How is that possible?" She said, "Sir, I don't know." But she said, "I just believe it because God said it." And he was so rude. He said, "Well, how did it happen? I need explanation." She said, "Sir, I don't have explanation. I may just have to wait until I get to heaven and I'll ask Jonah." And then the man said, "Well, what if Jonah doesn't make it to heaven?" She said, "Well, then you can ask him." Amen. The Bible is a miracle book. But I want you to know something. The greatest miracle in the Word of God was how Jesus Christ defied death, hell, and the grave. It's how Jesus Christ became victorious over death, hell, and the grave. It's the greatest miracle. It's the greatest odds ever defied. Now let me share something with you. There was a woman who was the last woman at the cross, and she was the first individual at the tomb. She was the last person at the cross, and she was the first person at the tomb, and she was the first person to see the resurrected Christ. Her name was Mary Magdalene. And the Bible 12 times mentions Mary Magdalene. More than most of the disciples, more than the apostles, it mentions this lady. Since she was the first one at the tomb, since she was the first one to see the resurrected Savior, I want us to get her perspective from the greatest odds ever defied. And there's 5 things I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is her change. Her change. See, Pastor, why was she called Mary Magdalene? Because she was from Magdala. Because that was the town she was from. And if you study Magdala, Magdala was notorious for some things. But one of the things it was notorious for was prostitution. Many of the women there were involved in prostitution. It's believed that Mary was probably a prostitute. Most theologians believe that she probably was. Now, we don't know emphatically that she was, but we know she was a sinful lady because Mark chapter 16, verse 9 says, Jesus cast seven devils out of her. I don't know what her demons were. I don't know what she struggled with. I don't know what the demons are perhaps today that you're struggling with. But all I want you to know is Jesus Christ changed her life. And here's what I want to say to you today. I wouldn't take the time of preaching five times this weekend if I didn't believe, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ changes people's lives. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I just want you to know today, no matter what's in your past, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've messed up, no matter how much shame, no matter how much heartache you've brought to people, I want to report to you that Jesus Christ can change your life. Jesus Christ can transform your life. Jesus Christ can make a difference in your life. See, I see Mary's change, but I see something else about Mary. Not only Mary's change, but Mary's commitment. See, Luke chapter 8 tells us something. There were 12 disciples, 12 men that followed Jesus around. 12 men. But not only were they 12 men that followed Jesus around, if you read verses 2 and 3, there was also three women. Now, I read that and I realized it makes sense because the 12 men directionally would have not known how to get around. Amen? And they wouldn't have stopped and asked for directions. So they needed those three women to keep them on the track. But as I studied about Mary being one of those three women, not only did I believe she helped keep the 12 men on track, but the Bible says this. The Bible says she gave of her substance. She gave of her substance. See, folks, let me say something to you. At Rock Springs Church, you say, Pastor Benny, you don't say very little about giving. No, never have and never will. And I'll tell you why. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a blood-bought, heartfelt, sin-killing, life-changing, devil-chasing experience with God, it makes you want to live for Him. It makes you want to serve Him. It makes you want to give to Him. It makes you want to use your life to honor and glorify Him. You'll never convince me that a person comes to know Christ and there's no change in their life. You'll never convince me of that. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ changes our lives. I'm not a golfer. If you could do it in 20 minutes, I'd do it. But I did get the opportunity the first time in 32 years of being the pastor here. I went to the Masters this year. And I was watching the Masters there. And a young man won the Masters. His name was Scotty Scheffler. Scotty got the $2.7 million and the green jacket. But he gave this testimony. He said, the reason I play golf is to glorify God for all that He's done in my life. My identity is not in a golf score, but my identity is in Jesus Christ. Let me say to you, ladies and gentlemen, Mary, her life was changed. But not only Mary's change, but Mary's commitment. It's the third thing I want you to see. Her constancy. Her constancy. See, I told you there were 12 men that followed Jesus around. They were disciples. And sometimes we talk about Peter denied the Lord. And we give Peter a hard time. We say, well, Peter got on the water, walked on the water, and he fell. I've always admired him. At least he got out of the boat, amen? And I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. He got out of the boat. But let me share something with you. Peter wasn't the only one that denied the Lord. Look what the scripture says. All the disciples forsook him and fled. All the disciples forsook him. But there was a lady that was constant. Her name was Mary. Look what God's word says about Mary. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When the men said, we're gone, there was a woman that said, I'm staying. And this woman, she saw it all. She saw the mutilation. She saw them blindfold him, take their hands, and beat his face, and say, if you're the Christ, prophesy who it is that hit you. She saw them spit on him. She saw them pluck his beard. She saw them take his hands and tie his hands above his head. Take his hands, tie them above his head, and take a scourge. It's a wooden handle with 9 leather strippings. On the end of the strippings, they would put pieces of metal, pieces of glass, bone. So when the scourge went into the back, it would dig into the flesh. 40 stripes, so 360 pieces of metal, pieces of glass ripped his back. The artists are kind. He was so mutilated. They lay him back on a cross and they take the spikes. The spikes didn't go through that part of the hand. The spikes went through the wrist, the median nerve. One of the most painful things that a person can experience is the severing of the median nerve. The spikes went through the median nerve and held him to the cross. And for 6 hours, he hung on the cross. He said, I thirst. Because he hung in a Palestinian desert 18 hours without taking any liquids in his body. She saw the mutilation, but she saw the humiliation. There was a reason why, ladies and gentlemen, he was put on the middle cross. It was customary. You put the vilest criminal on the middle cross. The vilest criminal. He was humiliated. The artists are kind. He hung on the middle cross, completely naked. Somebody said on a hill far away. No. He wasn't on a hill far away. He was only 12 or 14 inches off the ground. The reason why he was 12 or 14 inches off the ground is where the men could stand and urinate on him. The reason why he was 12 or 14 inches off the ground is the children would take dung and throw it at the person on the middle cross. I want you to see, she saw it. She saw the mutilation. She saw the humiliation. But she saw the degradation. See, folks, you say, Pastor, what you've just described, it had to be the most painful thing on earth. No. The greatest pain that he experienced was the degradation. See, if you've ever sinned, and I know we have, the guilt that you feel after that sin, the guilt that you feel, I've been there and felt that guilt. When Jesus was on the cross, he experienced the guilt of the entire world. He experienced the guilt of genocide. The perfect Son of God, he experienced the guilt of adultery. He experienced the guilt of murder. He experienced the guilt of abuse. He experienced the guilt of adultery. He experienced the guilt of an affair. Every sin that mankind will ever commit, ladies and gentlemen, was placed on Jesus Christ. And psychologically, the perfect Son of God, who had never sinned, experienced our guilt. The most expensive thing in the world is sin. Because get this, if you accept Jesus, your sin costs God his Son on the cross. But wait, if you don't accept Jesus, your sin will cost you your soul. It will cost you your soul for all eternity. See, I see some things about Mary. I see her change, her commitment, her constancy. But I'll tell you something else I see about Mary. I see her crying. Her crying. See, when they put Jesus into that tomb, Mary watched it according to Matthew 27. She watched them put Jesus into the tomb. And Mary thought all hope was gone. She wasn't coming to the tomb on Easter morning, ladies and gentlemen, thinking he'd resurrected. She came bringing spices because you got to understand, even to this day in Israel, they don't embalm bodies. So when a person dies in Israel, even to this day, they bury the body immediately. She was bringing spices for the decomposition of the body so the body would not start smelling. So verse 11 of John chapter 20 says this. She looked down into the sepulcher. It was empty. She thought somebody had stolen his body. And she said, I just wanted to express my condolences. I just wanted to anoint his body, but his body's gone. And the Bible says she wept. You know what I know? This Easter, maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're hurting this Easter. See, she was disappointed. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Benny, this because of situations. I can't explain God. Why is this happening to my child? Why did it have to happen to my child? Why did the relationship have to turn out the way it turned out? Why did my situation have to turn out the way it turned out? Why did I have to get the report I got? Why did my business end up the way it is? Why did I get dealt the hand of cards that I've been dealt? Here's what I want you to see. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 3, there was a man that got a bad report. Maybe just like you've got a bad report. And the Bible says he wept sore. But verse 5 says something. God said to that man, I know you're weeping, but I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. This is what I know. Tears attract the attention of God. Tears attract the attention of God. You said, this Easter, Pastor, I'm disappointed. Well, I want you to know something. The scripture says he's near to the brokenhearted. Tears get God's attention. even on Easter. Let me wrap it up, but don't get in too big a hurry. Her celebration. Now you stick with me and all this will make sense. Friend, there's always had to be a covering for sin. There always had to be an atonement. There always had to be a price paid for the sins of the people. So what would happen? Every year, on the 10th day of the seventh month, the high priest would go up to the temple. He would take a sacrifice. He would take a lamb. And he would walk into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could do this. And ladies and gentlemen, he would walk up to the mercy seat. And he would sprinkle blood on top of the mercy seat. In the Holy of Holies, in the temple, on the Temple Mount. This provided a covering for the sins of the people for another year. Now wait. It never took the sins of the people away. It never took the sins away. It just provided a covering for one more year. Now look. When he would walk up to that mercy seat, that was it. It was covered with gold. But on the end of that mercy seat, as you can see, there were two cherubims, two angelic beings. And he would put the blood right between them. That was the covering for the sins of the people. Now look, Mary's weeping. And she looks down in the tomb in John 20, verse 12. And she sees two angels in white, sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. What was God saying to Mary? Oh, Mary, the sin debt has been paid. Oh, Mary, the sin debt has been paid. John 20, verse 14 says, and when she had thus said, Mary turned herself back and she saw Jesus. Wait, get this. She didn't know it was Jesus. And I understand why she wouldn't have. Because the last time she saw him, his face was beaten. The last time she saw him, they put a crown of poisonous thorns on his head and took a reed and beat it down into his skull. The last time she saw him, the scripture says you couldn't even tell that he was a human. So the Bible says in verse 14, she didn't recognize Jesus. And then verse 15 says, Jesus said, woman, why are you weeping? Whom seekest thou? She thought he was the gardener. And she said, sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where thou's laid him, and I will take him away. Listen, sir, she was said, sir, if you've got his body, just tell me where you put that dead body. Just tell me where that dead body is, sir. I know you're just the gardener. Tell me where the dead body is. Verse 16 says, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, Master. She realized it was Jesus. Now get this, folks, I'm almost done. But it's all gonna make sense. It's all gonna make sense. See that high priest? Before he would offer up sacrifice for the sins of the people, he had to bathe himself. He had to put on a special apparel. He could touch no one. He could touch no one. He would have no contact with no one. Offer up a sacrifice for himself. Bathe himself. Go into the presence of God and offer the blood on the mercy seat. She recognized it was Jesus. But look at verse 17. And Jesus said, Mary, don't you touch me, for I have not ascended to the Father. But you just go give the message. You go give the message, Mary. But don't you touch me, because you don't understand, Mary. I've got to ascend. I've got to go to the throne of God, and I've got to take the blood that I shed on the cross, and I've got to present that blood at the throne of God, and I've got to say to my heavenly Father, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. I believe this is what happened to Mary.
Everyone, the tomb is open. He's alive. I saw him.
That's not possible.
I saw him.
Mary, maybe it was someone else.
You think I'm mad? Peter, see the tomb for yourself.
And some wine.
What happened? His body. His blood. I am the way. The truth.
I wish I was a worship leader. If I was, I'd lead us in this song. It says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is with me, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time we need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. I trust He lives within your heart. Couple nights ago, Barbara said, we're going to do something. I said, what are we going to do? She said, we're going to go get you an Easter shirt. I'm going to get a pink one next time. I got the shirt, and I was getting ready to leave, and I thought, you know, I've got to pay for it. And I went up and paid for it. Listen closely, folks. None of us have a problem that we're sinners. You say, I don't think I'm that, I don't have that much sin. Well, ask your family. They'll verify. But look here, folks. There's got to be payment for your sin. And our sins will either be pardoned in Christ or punished in hell. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I don't have any motive. But friend, Christ has paid our sin debt. Listen, all the religions of the world say do. But Christianity says done. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. So what do I have to do, Pastor Benny? You've just got to accept Jesus. You've just got to accept the sacrifice that He paid for you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.